The farming town of Dichuri, Korean for Great Harvest Village, has become the site of a pitched battle between rice farmers in South Korea against U.S. military, as the U.S. military, with the help of many forces inside the South Korean government, continue with a planned expansion of its Camp Humphreys Army Base in the town of Dichuri. The concentration of U.S. troops in the Pyongyang Tech region of South Korea will destroy the farming communities of Dichuri, Duduri, and others. Over 500 households and thousands of residents live within this zone area. The rice farmers have chosen to resist the occupation of their homeland and stand up to the Korean government and the United States military. Facing the imminent onslaught of bulldozers, riot police, and two nations' militaries, the farmers of Pyongyang Tech have decided to risk imprisonment and persecution. These peaceful villagers have fought the expansion of the base and the theft of their land through all possible legal means. We now like to welcome Hyeong Lee to the show. Ms. Lee is a U.S. chair of the Korea Truth Commission that seeks to expose the crimes committed by the U.S. military during the Korean War. She's been involved in the Korean unification movement for the last 20 years. Ms. Lee is joining us to discuss the current struggle of the Pyongyang Tech farmers. Welcome to the show, Ms. Lee.
Thank you for having me on your show.
For sure. Why don't we give people, I would say, one important aspect of the struggle. I know that I've been reading it for the last 2 weeks or so. Why don't you give us a background to this struggle? I know it's almost 3 years old, and right now it's sort of reaching, you know, a face-to-face boiling point. But how did we even get to this point in the first place?
Well, it's really last century's struggle in Pyeongtaek. The recent Pyeongtaek farmer struggle against the U.S. military base expansion is another legacy of a long U.S. intervention and 60 years of domination on Korean Peninsula. Towards the end of the 19th century, the Chinese, it's called Sino-Japan War, mm-hmm. where China and Japan fought over the control of Korea on Korean soil, and Russo-Japanese War, where Russia and Japan fought for the control of Korea on Korean soil. In both wars, the heavy fighting took place both in Osan and Pyeongtaek. Pyeongtaek eventually became an outpost for the foreign military bases. After recognizing Japan as a world power at the time that U.S. and Japan signed the Katsura Agreement, which recognized Japan's supreme interest on Korea, and Japan annexed Korea in 1910 and colonized Korea for the next 30 years until Japan defeated it during World War II. After World War II, the U.S. again intervened without approval from Korean people, decided to divide Korea into two, North and South. As a result of the Korean War, U.S. gained permanent use of 100 military bases in South Korea. Mm-hmm. Pyeongtaek farmers who cultivated lands for generations were evicted from their land in 1952 during the Korean War, and again in 2006, 50 years later, they are once again forced to leave their beloved farmlands for the U.S.-based expansion. The Osan Air Base, which is located in Pyeongtaek, 70 kilometers south of Seoul, was built during the Korean War. Pyeongtaek is equipped with a waterfront and an airport. Also, Pyeongtaek is strategically located to contain or attack China and North Korea. These farmers are forcibly evicted who had been living there for generations. The rice farmers have been protesting peacefully for the past 4 years against the expansion of the U.S. military base. The candlelight visit took place over 650 days consecutively without missing a day.
I think most people have, you know, given that, you know, the Korean War with the United States and the struggle that happened there, or even World War II, has been so long time ago. I mean, most people can't even remember what happened 2 years ago. I think the important part that you're really introducing people is to contextualize that this struggle against the U.S. military has been based right from the beginning of looking at Korea as a very strategic place, right? And I was reading it in the website, as you were just saying right now, that that the region is really right now being, it's sort of a restructuring of the military of the U.S. inside Korea,
right,
to help them move on North Korea and move on China and its broader sort of hegemonic control of the region, right?
Yeah, the U.S. military strategy that has changed after 9/11, which is the U.S. expansion of U.S. Army base, Camp Humphrey, is part of the global post-review following the agenda of the project for a new American century called PNAC, mm-hmm, and implemented by the Bush administration to consolidate its military hegemony of Northeast Asia. Under the relocation pact, the U.S. is required to hand back in 34 military bases spread around the country by 2011. Also, U.S. will build two consolidated and modernized bases in Pyeongtaek and Osan. 96% of the land of Osan base and 60% of the land in the Pyeongsang region where Camp Humphrey is located has been transferred to military defense.
Mm-hmm.
I already said that. So, that's what is happening.
Right.
Recently, the South Korean Minister of Defense, Ban Ki-moon, and Condoleezza Rice exchanged the agreement of the understanding, which noted that South Korea understands the U.S. needed of global flexibility, mm-hmm, of U.S. forces in Korea. Thus, it paved the way for the U.S. Forces in Korea to be mobilized and deployed anywhere around the world without South Korean government's agreement.
Mm.
Korean Peninsula became a hostage to the U.S. military aggression against other countries and its fighting for the global hegemony.
Mm.
The Osan will become a key base for U.S. missile defense system in East Asia. That is what's happening right now.
We're talking to Haeyoung Lee. She's a U.S. chair of the Korea Truth Commission. Well, Haeyoung, why don't you help us understand, because, you know, what I've kept up is, obviously, for the last 30 years in Korea, there's been a struggle for the broadening democratic rights of the people, given that for a long time there was essentially a dictatorship, you know, helped run by the United States in many ways. But I know that in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, there has been a deep struggle inside Korea to raise the question of what the hell is even the U.S. military doing inside the peninsula, given, you know, the question around the movements around the comfort women, the movement around U.S. military personnel in Korea just doing whatever they want to do. So I know there's been a heightened antagonism against the growing role of the U.S. military in Korea. How has that played off in this struggle? Does that mean there's been a massive debate in Korea to stop this farming, or has the ability of the government been able to persuade others to support the construction of this base in Korea?
The majority of Korean people are opposing the U.S. New U.S. military expansion in South Korea, and U.S. military presence in South Korea, and the people have been protesting against the U.S. military presence in South Korea, because South Korean government is stronger than North Korea and is capable to defend itself. We do not need U.S. military base presence in South Korea. It only escalates the tension between North and South Korea and in the East, Northeast Asia.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the Roe administration. I know that maybe about 3 years ago we had a show, maybe 2 years ago, I guess, we had a show where I would say people were not, you know, cheerful, But I think people were hopeful that the Roe administration, given that when President Roe was running as a candidate for the president, he was raising some debates about, hey, maybe I don't want to send the troops out to Iraq. I maybe want to limit the role of the U.S. inside Korea. And I also want to move on the question around unification. How has he been on this question? How has his administration handled this current struggle in the Pyeongtaek region?
The majority of South Korean people oppose the South Korean troop deployment to Iraq. But against people's wish, President Roh Moo-hyun government gave in to U.S. pressure and ended up sending about, I think there is about 3,000 troops. So they are not engaged in combat fighting, but they are participating, rebuilding Iraq, rebuilding hospitals and schools, etc. And still, we are opposing South Korea involvement in Iraq. This sixth decade of U.S. military occupation has unjustly denied the Korean people sovereignty and self-determination. We do not want a renewed buildup of U.S. military forces in the Korean Peninsula. Since the June 15 Joint Declaration, North and South Korea jointly made a tremendous stride for peace and reunification. North Korea has opened military-sensitive Kaesong City, which is located only 5 kilometers away from the demilitarized zone. For the North-South Joint Industrial Complex, and many South Korean companies have jointly built making commodities. So the last 5 years have been a period which both North Korea and South Korea have expressly demonstrated that they do not want war, but they want to realize a peaceful reunification under mutual cooperation. And we want to reunite the country with self-determination without any foreign interference.
Well, why don't you help us understand this struggle? I mean, I've been seeing some intense videos and photos that are coming out of the pitch struggle right now, essentially by riot police that's being pushed by the Korean government to eventually reach a point where they want to kick out the farmers. How does that fight look every day? How many families are we talking about? How many supporters have been able to, I guess, get in there even before? Because at this moment, from what I understand, a lot of people can't even get into the village at this moment,
correct.
Right?
On May 4 and 5th, the subservient South Korean government sent in 15,000 riot police and troops to evict the resisting farmers and activists from the land designated for a U.S.-based plan. The military brutally attacked these farmers in a fashion similar to what they did on May 18, 1980 against the peaceful demonstrators calling for democracy in Gwangju. Over 500 local farmers and activists were injured and 520 forests. And they demolished the elementary school in Daejuri, and the children cannot go to school now. And they blocked the main roads leading to Pyeongtaek. And after they evicted most of the residents from that area, Daejuri and Dodri, I heard this morning there are about 100 people are still inside Daejuri and Dodri, and they are not freely go in and out of the area. They dropped the wire fence from the air during that protest on May 4 and 5 because they couldn't go through the road. They dropped this wire fence in that area from the air. By U.S. Military and South Korean military combined troops did that, and they are guarding the U.S. military and South Korean military and riot police are guarding that area, and no one is allowed to go in and out of that area now. And so the protest has been going on around that area by the The protest is really growing in all sectors. The teachers, the unions, and the farmers, and even the legal professionals, and the, all sectors joining. It's growing. The protest is growing, and they are having candlelight vigil in Seoul, part of the Seoul in Gwanghwamun, every day. The candlelight vigil against this U.S. Base expansion and against this brutal attack on farmers. They are protesting, and it is growing.
And what has the administration? What has the administration said or not said at this moment? Are they stuck on we are going to move everybody out no matter what, or is there the ability to be able to stop and reverse the land taking of the U.S. military? Is what I'm trying to understand, I guess.
I don't think the South Korean government will back down because U.S. would not back down because of the strategic interest in the there. So it's not. The U.S. government is not going to back down, and so South Korean government cannot do anything.
So let us. Why don't you help me understand also here the work here in the U.S. What we can do, given that. It is really, and I think I really agree with you, obviously, in many ways, it's the U.S. government who needs to be the main target here in this struggle. What has been the work here in the U.S. to try to raise this debate? Because obviously I know in many ways the farmers in Korea have been, you know, having some fierce struggles, not only over around this question around the military bases, but their general struggle against the structural adjustments and the shifts of agriculture inside Korea. What can we do here in the U.S. that can raise this debate, that can become a real debate to be able to stop them from taking people's land?
You know, Korean War is called Forgotten War and Hidden History. The Korean War should have revealed. 3.5 million civilians were massacred by U.S. military, just the civilians. And 5-6 million overall were killed during the 3-year Korean War. Because I'm afraid this ongoing struggle of Korean people against U.S. military presence in South Korea is so unknown to the world, and especially to the U.S. Because of U.S. main media is not reveal the truth. So the South Korean main media is not revealing the truth. They are distorting the facts. Just like here. I'm hoping the progressive media will, in this country, will widespread this incident, what is happening in South Korea with the U.S. Military base, and raise people's awareness and demand the U.S. government to bring the troops home, as well as the troops from Iraq. The Korean people do not want U.S. troops present in Korea. And U.S. citizens should demand their government to bring the U.S. troops home here.
Well, we've been talking to Hye-Young Lee. So, Hye-Young, one way that people can begin to understand this struggle is to go to the website, right? And the website is savept-farmers.org. That's one way. Is there a number that they can get a hold of you or the Korea Truth Commission to be able to get involved in this struggle?
Okay, my number is 310-915-9946.
So the number is 310-915-9946. If folks want to know about this struggle, thank you so much, Hye-Young Lee.